Greetings. You are listening to Christian Radio, WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Religious Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, Westminster, Colorado, since 1992. Your host is Rita Williams. Email r421@earthlink.net. People always ask, why Cephas and how do you spell Cephas? In John 1, 42 and 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible states Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C as in Charles, E, P as in Peter, H as in help, A, S as in Sam. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if you have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can also apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the child. She has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program is about exposing the religious matrix. It's something that is inside the womb of the Vatican, which we call the religious matrix, could be you, may or may not be caught up in it. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know if you are the something that is inside of the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has dedicated 3 websites to exposing the religious matrix. Cephas Ministry has cephas-radio.com. Programs are archived and downloadable there. Cephas-news.com. It has 60 free films exposing the religious matrix. And matrix.cephasministry.com, where comments are active. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah, attracts people of faith, interfaith, of all faith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself as no other pope has before. Even though Pope Francis tells people that he doesn't have time left to live, much time left to live, he travels from country to country. To his own amazement, he is greeted by millions expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping he will be an acting savior, although his message is about worldly issues like global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. The Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians, who are Muslims. What I noticed recently, Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do you know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam? In spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians 6:15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version, the prophet describes what God told him. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as a town without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up of his holy habitation." The undercurrent, which we call the religious matrix, began with Pope John Paul II. With Vatican II, the Vatican took a new direction that may or may not be noticed by Catholics. Pope Francis is an atheist gathering the tares, Matthew 13, verse 30. Those who follow him will be subject to the delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2:11. In other words, they will be punished with spiritual blindness. The Word was made flesh, John 1:14, representing Jesus Christ. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Since God left the preaching up to men, I will be letting them tell you what to be aware of. Keep listening after I sign off. To stay connected, subscribe to free newsletters at go-deepest.com. God bless you and thanks for listening. Shalom. Following is an excerpt from Douglas Batchelor, who analyzes the Pope's call for unity of all religions, part one.
Take a moment to talk to you about some very interesting events that have recently transpired that have profound prophetic implications. We're going to take a few moments and look at a unique video that was just posted on the internet. It's a special message from Pope Francis to a convocation filled with charismatic and Pentecostal ministers. It's an appeal for unity, for them to unite or to join again with the Catholic Church. It's an invitation for them to be one. And I think this is very significant. We won't be able to show the whole video. We will post it at the Amazing Facts website if you'd like to view it in its entirety. But I'd like to go through and look at it and highlight some points that I want to bring to your attention. Why don't we go ahead and we'll roll that now.
I believe that God has brought me here to this year's Ministers' Conference in the spirit of Elijah. Let me explain. If you look carefully, the spirit of Elijah was on John the Baptist to turn the hearts of the sons to the fathers.
Let's pause the tape right there. Now, in a moment, we're going to be hearing a personal message from Pope Francis. But to me, even more interesting is the question about who is this Bishop Tony Palmer? A very dashing individual that seems to have a personal relationship with the Pope and is being sent as an envoy of the Pope. He sort of is a mediator in that he's not technically a Catholic. He's an Anglican. He has his own ministry that is specifically focused on bringing unity to the churches. And he's not just going to this conference of the charismatics, but he's making the rounds in every way he can to bring the different churches together. He does a masterful job as framing himself as the prophet Elijah with a message to bring the children back to the fathers and the fathers to the children. A message of unity, playing down doctrinal differences. You can listen and see what you think.
And to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, to prepare the way for the Lord. And we know that prophecy always has a double fulfillment. And we know that Elijah will come before the second coming as well. And I've understood that the spirit of Elijah is the spirit of reconciliation, to return hearts to each other. This is very important. We know that the first 1,000 years there was one church, it was called the Catholic Church. And the word Catholic means universal, it doesn't mean Roman. Catholic means if you're born again, raise your hand if you're born again. You're a Catholic.
Don't want to make too much out of it because he's right. The word Catholic does technically mean universal. But what you're seeing here is in very careful, deliberate increments, the distinctions between Catholics and Protestants are being broken down. It's good. Keep playing.
Take back, redeem what belongs to you. We are Catholics. And then there was the split at the end of the first millennium. We had the Orthodox, East and West, two churches. Then 500 years later, we have Luther and his protest. Three churches in 1,500 years. Three denominations, not three churches. And then, from Luther's protest onwards, 33,000 new denominations.
You see what's happening here, friends, is he's calling it Luther's protest. Instead of it being the Protestant movement or the Protestant Reformation, it's sort of being stated as it's really the rebellion or the protest of one disgruntled priest. But this was really a movement based upon a lot of theological differences. Let's go ahead and play.
I've come to understand that diversity is divine. It's division that's diabolic.
I don't know if you caught that, friends, but that's a very significant and troubling. Diversity is wonderful, it's divine. But division is diabolical. See, that's just patently not true. Not all division is diabolical. The Bible tells us that the Word of God divides. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, I have not come to send peace, but to send a sword. Paul tells us that we must come out and be separate. And when the apostles in their day took a stand for the truth, there was a division that took place between themselves and the big church. And so in the last days, when we take a stand for the truth, we're going to be called not only divisive, we're going to be called diabolical.
It's true what you were saying about the glory. I agree with you. Of course it's true. The glory that the Father had, he gave to Jesus. The glory was the presence of God. What is the charismatic renewal? It's when we experience the presence of God. And he said, and I give them the glory, pragmatic reason, so that they may be one. It's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines.
He said, it's the glory that glues us together, not the doctrines. Well, I don't know if I mentioned earlier that Bishop Tony Palmer is also a charismatic. He speaks in tongues. He supports that. And the charismatic movement is a very interesting movement in that it really is a form of spiritualism that has come into the Christian church. Matter of fact, more emphasis is put on the spirit than on doctrine. You know, one more thing I thought I should insert at this point as we're talking about who is this Tony Palmer. He told the crowd, when my wife saw that she could be a Catholic and a charismatic and evangelical and Pentecostal, and it was absolutely accepted in the Catholic Church, she said she wanted to reconnect her roots with a Catholic culture, so she did. So there's no mistaking what his goal is. He said his wife believed she could be all of these things and reconnect to the Catholic culture. This is going to be the goal, that everybody comes together in the Christian world within or recognizing the Catholic culture.
It's the glory. If you accept that Christ is living in me and the presence of God is in me and the presence of God is in you, that's all we need. Because God will sort out all our doctrines when we get upstairs.
Don't worry about doctrine here. We'll sort out all the doctrines when we get to heaven. Let's just love each other here. But doctrine is very important. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, the people were amazed at his doctrine. So what are we going to do? Eliminate the Sermon on the Mount? Because we're just supposed to love each other. We'll sort out the doctrines later. This is going to be the mantra that you're going to hear over and over again. Let's play.
Therefore, Christian unity is the basis of our credibility. Because Jesus said, until they won, they will not believe. The world will not believe, as they should, until we are one. Division destroys our credibility. It is fear that keeps us separated, because fear is false evidence appearing real. It's an acronym. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Because most of your fear is based on propaganda.
So what we're really hearing here is that the Protestant Reformation teachings are propaganda that incites fear. And so it's bad. Don't worry about this propaganda.